Dave and Janovic.
I woke up on Sunday wondering, is the Middle East going to be at war? Is what's going on between Israel and Gaza going to expand even more? Because Iran launched an attack against Israel, lots of drones with explosives on them and missiles. And then it really hit close to home to me, Dave, when I heard the call between the U.S. fighter squadrons that were knocking these missiles and the drones out of the sky to help defend Israel. They had with the president, President Biden, after it all went down.
It made an enormous difference, potentially saving a lot of lives. And thanks to extraordinary skill, the United States helped Israel take down nearly all those incoming missiles. You're remarkable.
Proud to be an American.
It is incredible the way we are able to defend ourselves and how essentially we're helping Israel defend themselves. But let's be very, very clear. Iran has been attacking Israel nonstop for years. They've just been conducting it through a proxy war. Whether it's the Houthis in Yemen or Hezbollah or Hamas, they have been attacking. They've just been funding all the other rebel groups. This, though, a direct attack, does it cross a line? Does it change anything?
Well, Amos Giora, professor at the University of Utah, School of Law there, and also in Israel, you served in the Israeli Defense Forces. Thanks so much for calling us from Israel this morning. My understanding was the backdrop for this, even though it's been going on for years, was a recent attack in Syria by Israel on Iran's, consulate there?
Correct.
Yeah.
Embassy, consulate, some kind of a compound.
Yeah, a compound where a top Iranian military official was taken out by Israel. So it's messy. I mean, this was like a retaliation for maybe another retaliation. I mean, set the landscape for us. Tell us, give us some of the backstory and then tell us how things are going there today.
So first of all, thanks for having me. Indeed, I just arrived in Israel and I hope the connection is okay because I'm actually driving. The Iranian response of, 48 hours ago was something that they had threatened to do in response to, as you correctly note, the killing of the Iranian diplomat generals in Damascus. And so I don't think that this came as a total surprise. That said, there was really a question whether or not they would go through with their threat, and this time they did. And you are also correct that until now, the Iranian attacks on Israel have never been direct. It's always been through proxies, particularly Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. We could have a long discussion about whether Hamas is an Iranian proxy, but that's for a different day. So the 400 or 350 drones, missiles that were fired towards Israel that were intercepted, whether before they got to Israel or over Israel, the harm they caused here, the damage they caused here from a physical perspective is minimal at best. Which I think why, from an Iranian perspective, the firing of the missiles was a lose-lose. One, because they had no impact here other than, you know, causing some people anxiety and maybe stress. But it also, on the other hand, galvanized the world. Right? As you correctly noted, the United States of America and England and Jordan. Jordan needs to be thrown into the loop of countries that came to Israel's assistance by also shooting down the drones. That's important to add. And I think that's probably what caused the Iranians yesterday or today, get confused with the time zones. They are beyond surprise, which is maybe shows their lack of geopolitical understanding, that the world has turned against them for attacking Israel in this way. So, you know, you can attack generals, you can kill generals, but you attacking a civilian population, which is what this is intended to do, is different. And that maybe they missed the first day of geopolitics. On the other hand, there's a school of thought that says that because they, in essence, gave due notice that this was going to happen, that this was performative, meaning they tit for tat, that they probably took into consideration that most of the drones' missiles would be shot down. I don't know if they expected all of them to be shot down, and I think there was one Israeli injured, and there's a slight damage to one of the Israeli bases that they attacked. So from their perspective, maybe that's the word performative, maybe the correct word. Where we go next is obviously the question. President Biden, I think, has made it very clear to Prime Minister Netanyahu that the United States of America defends Israel defensively, won't defend Israel offensively. And so the obvious question here is where do we go on two different fronts here, or three fronts? One, where do we go with Iran? When I use the word we, I mean Israel. Where do we go with Iran? Where do we go with Hezbollah and southern Lebanon? In the meantime, there's still a war ongoing in Gaza, and the long-awaited, much-discussed incursion of the Israel Defense Forces in Rafiah, which is the southernmost town in Gaza, that's still out there somewhere on the table. You take all three together, and I'm sure that's why President Biden made it very clear to Netanyahu, I think as did Macron, who's on his way here, and I think the German foreign minister is also on his way here, to say to Netanyahu, we supported you 48 hours ago, but don't translate that into support if you are to continue the war in Gaza, two very different things. And the question of Hezbollah in Lebanon is a third question, because don't forget there are, I'm not sure the numbers, let's say 100,000 Israelis who have been evacuated from Israel's northern border and can't go back home until the situation with Lebanon is somehow resolved.
Is Israel overwhelmed at this point, fighting on so many fronts?
It's an interesting question, you know, the multiple front question. I don't know, and don't wait, hang on, to complicate your excellent question. Don't forget that 48 hours ago, Jewish settlers in the West Bank attacked Palestinians in response to the murder of a 14-year-old Israeli boy the day before. So I don't know, is that a three-front, four-front? It extends the army, and the way that it works here is it will require, I assume, the recall up of reservists, because remember the brunt of the Israeli, the main force of the Israeli army are reservists. Is in the aftermath of October 7th, I think it was 300,000 reservists who were called up, which also imposes a significant economic impact, because these are people who work or then are called up and they don't work, so the economy takes a hit. Your question is a spot-on question. Throw into the mix that people like me of my political ilk, and I'm very open about this, will tell you that Prime Minister Netanyahu has a clear interest in the continuation of this, because it ensures that he can stay in power and serves as a deflector, if you will, from his trial and his own political travails. Mm. There's no easy answer here.
No, there is not. But we appreciate you taking the time. Live from Israel, Emos Giora is a professor at the University of Utah, but has served in the Israeli Defense Forces and brings great expertise. Thank you.
Yeah, President Biden telling Netanyahu, hey, we will defend you, but we're not going to play offense for you. So the question today in the next couple of days will be, what will Israel do? Will they respond? Or, look, no loss of life from what we've heard. No, you know, there was, I heard this morning on my way, and there was a child who was injured, but no major catastrophic damage. You just heard Amos Giora live from Israel for us. So does Netanyahu just stand down right now and say, okay, let's just put this behind us?
Yeah, it's a great question, Debbie, because what if we had not been able to shoot down so many of these drones and rockets and ballistic missiles, and had these gotten through? It is such a gamble on Iran's side to shoot hundreds of explosives into a country with what, maybe the fingers crossed that only a fraction of them get through. It is a massive gamble and incredibly dangerous.
Next, we're going to take a really in-depth look in the 10 o'clock hour at what I'm calling the signature scandal. The Attorney General's office has filed criminal charges alleging that people in Utah illegally gathered signatures to get a congressional candidate on the ballot. Is our process just ripe for scandal? We'll answer that next.